So what do we have here?
This is a solar wall oven designed to go through the wall of a house, the south wall of a house. This one is freestanding on a barrel, just for demonstration purposes. We have the other one behind us here on a actually mounted in a wall.
And what's your idea to do with this?
Barbara had designed this some 15 years ago and has been using it almost exclusively to anything else since then. And she's always wanted to get it out in a form that could be more widespread. And the way we're going to approach that is Barbara's writing a book, which needs to be edited into final form. And the other half of it is to be able to sell it as a completed unit. That along with the necessary information for builders, contractors, architects, and so forth, so they can design the house so they can drop this into it. And then we will engage someone to actually do the manufacturing. This version you're seeing here is a pre-production prototype. It's not quite there yet, but it looks like about July we can deliver a few units to start getting production up.
And what do you have inside the walls?
Traditionally, Barbara has always used crushed newspaper, about 2 inches of it, or inch and a half. This one we experimented and we used commercial polyurethane foam insulation. But we're experiencing some outgassing from that and also some softening at the cooking temperature, so we're not going to do that. That's why this is not quite the final production version.
Okay. And how much does it cost to build one of these?
The one you're looking at has about $150 worth of material and an unknown amount of labor. So the selling price is therefore unknown. The other thing wrong with this one we're looking at is it still has too much labor. It's still too hard to build.
Yeah.
We built this one very much the way Horace McCracken designed and built his solar water distillers. Because of the person who's building those now, we wanted to use the same techniques. But it turns out not to have been a good idea because this is all put together with a silicone adhesive, which is very slow to set and really impedes the any kind of efficient production.
What's the difference between this one and that one?
Not much. This one has not got the drip edge on it to clean up the edges, and that's about it. Identical elements. They're both built at the same time. To be identical. And they're partly as test beds, so we can experiment, we can change reflectors inside, we can change the material on the bottom. So we've already changed the glass on the top. We originally had plastic on this one to compare the two, so that we get to find out what materials that are effective, that are both inexpensive enough to keep the price down.
Do you have to have any kind of reflector that's movable to work these, or are they wide enough so that the sun can just go around them?
This design was originally worked out by Dr. Paul Funk and also Barbara, who have worked on this design. But the original concept is to be able to gather sunlight over a wide area without moving it. Since it's designed to go on the side of a house, it can't be aimed, so it has to accept sunlight from a wide area. This will cook for about 6 hours in the summertime, from about 9 in the morning until about 3 in the afternoon. And it's an internal reflector. You can see by looking at it that the reflectors are built inside, so it has a larger glass area than the conventional, a lot of ovens which have external reflectors and a small glass. This increases the cost because your glass is costly. This is $50 or $60 at retail for the glass you see on top of this one. It does give you, though, a large floor area. You can see we've got quite a bit of stuff in this oven, and we could put quite a bit more if you wanted to push it around a little bit. So you can cook a whole meal.
And how hot have you seen this design get?
Of course, temperature is always a funny subject here because it depends on where you put the thermometer, and it really doesn't tell you how much heat you're getting in it. It just tells you the temperature, which is a different concept. But to answer your question, empty with nothing in it on a day like this, it gets about 280 or 290. Recently observed with this particular oven. Mm-hmm. Right now, since we've got a fair amount of stuff cooking in here, we're seeing more like about 210 or 220,
right,
because the heat is being taken out of the oven and it's going into the food.
And of course, no food can get above 212 anyway, unless burning.
Yes, yes. And so at higher elevations, where we are, it's 203.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We're at 6,000 feet.
Are we at 6,000?
Not here.
Oh,
no,
oh right.
It's a sustainable living center. So the answer is it's designed to work without external reflectors. They're internal. And so the concept all along has been to do it without external. But This is a really this thing cooks very effectively three seasons. In the winter, you can't bake bread in it. In the summer, you can, and you get a shorter cooking time. So you can do chilies. You can cook chickens in here. You can
even in the winter.
In the winter, oh yes, you can make cookies in the winter time, but you can't bake bread. It just because the sun is not up as long, it's at a lower angle, it goes through more atmosphere before it gets here, it hits the glass at a shallower angle, all those reasons, it doesn't
right.
get as hot.
Right.
So we're seeing cooking temperatures typically between 200 and 220 in the winter, and around 250, 220 to if you have a light loader here, you easily get to 250 in the summertime.
Right.
But the real question is, really that's the wrong question, the question is how much food can it cook? And how long does it take?
Okay, let's pretend I asked that question.
We're simulating doing a whole meal here. And we started about 9 o'clock this morning when the sun got out of here really well. And it's about noon now. And it looks like we've already cooked one batch of cookies. The apples are almost baked. The beans won't be done until this afternoon because it takes about 6 hours starting with dry beans. In a mason jar with lid screwed down tight.
Oh, they weren't pre-soaked.
They weren't pre-soaked. But because we screwed the lid on tight, we're pressure cooking them. It's a mild pressure cook.
Sounds like you might have a bomb there.
Yeah.
Don't take the lid off right away when you take it out of the oven. Let it cool. Otherwise, it'll foam up. We've never had any problem with cooking in a jar like this in this oven.
So that's a mason jar.
A ball mason curd jar.
With the lid tightened down very tightly.
Screwed down tight and painted black. This one, particularly one, has been dinged around some or used for a while, and most of the paint's fallen off, but it's supposed to be blackened.
Right.
So you put the beans in. I've never soaked beans. And Joe Radebaugh never does. Heaven's Flame. He always starts does the same sort of thing. He cooks with beans, starting with dry beans and just lets it go all day. But it'll take all day. If you were going to use beans like this, what I've done for this recipe, I cooked the beans, the casserole here. I cooked the beans the day before and then put the casserole together for today.
What do you put in there besides beans and water or anything else?
Oh, well, the recipe's posted over there on the wall, but it's just a tamale pie, so there's a TVP bacon and onion and tomato sauce and bell pepper and chili powder and olives and cheese and all kinds of stuff in it.
Okay, great. Anything else you'd like to say about the wall ovens and any kind of support you'd want to get from anybody else who might be listening to this recording?
Yeah, certainly we want a lot of comments back. And if people are interested in trying it out and want to purchase them from us, of course, we'll be ready for that later this year. The other question I didn't quite answer was the one about reflectors.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, I did some experimenting putting a reflector back here the size of this glass. At about a 60-degree angle, which turns out to be, if you do the math, about right for just about, it's a compromise, but it works just about for any latitude from 25 to 55 north.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you have to be able to hinge it out of the way because in the summertime at 60 degrees, it'll shade the glass. So it's got to, after the solstice, you got to get it up and out of the way. But if you hinge it, you can do that. And furthermore, if you make it out of thin foam, like a 1-inch or 2-inch thick house insulation, you can fold it down when the cooked food is done at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and have it still hot for supper at 6 in the evening.
Right, it becomes a retained heat cooker.
Yes, it becomes a, quote, hay box, unquote.
Right.
So that's a refinement. And since this is a walled oven, you can actually put a tension stick against the wall of the house up here to really hold that reflector in.
Right.
The other way I've done it on a freestanding unit is I build a reflector back here and put a tension rod from here down to here,
mm-hmm.
a rod with a trucker's hitch with a piece of rope on it to really hold it in there. And I had, I've had that withstand very heavy winds, dust devils and everything else, and it never has taken off the reflector. These ovens, by the way, since you can see as I've got it here, these ovens can be used freestanding, and they work excellently as a freestanding unit. I got this one put it on a 55-gallon drum, and that can actually... I can aim this one at the sun and get a longer cooking day. I had one mounted like this, and I had the reflector up there, which is a big sail area. And because of that large reflector, I was gone for a couple of days. They had a big windstorm, and it blew the oven off over because of the reflector.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we've had these things stand up in gale force winds, and it actually ripped the roofing off of some of the sheds. And the wall of it was sitting out there on the shelf and just stayed there, didn't move.
So the one that was tipped over, that was a freestanding one?
It was a freestanding one, but it had a large sail layer. It had a big reflector. And it fell over, hit the ground, broke the upper layer of glass, and the reflector was still on it.
Oh, boy.
I picked the whole thing up and put it back. Because of that tension rod against the
on
the freestanding unit.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the information.
Yeah.